Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you wherever you are in the world. Here I am talking to you from Belgium, another show from Stress to Authentic Success. And I trust that you listened to this last week's show because it was a full house. You had me all the time talking about self-care and conscious self-care. Now, please know that looking at the reactions, conscious self-care is really the foundation to have a fulfilling, meaningful life, you know. So I really am determined to, from time to time, give a show myself on a certain subject, on a certain topic that I really believe can inspire and motivate you. Because let's face it, we are here at UK Health Radio and UK Health Radio Podcast. We are here to motivate you, inspire you, even educate you, inform you on everything that has to do with your health, with your life. And that is my mission also for today. I just want to tell you that if you haven't listened to that radio show of last week with the topic of conscious self-care, please go and do so because it can be important for yourself, for your loved ones, for your future, for the future generation. It is really important to understand the concept of conscious self-care. And we've been talking a lot as well about mental health. And today I'm having an expert, a very young expert, by the way, Kate Stewart. She is the senior people participation lead for the Community Mental Health Transformation Program at the East London and NHS Foundation Trust. So to say to you, she's an expert by experience. And so we're going to talk about her experience, what she lived through, which physical, emotional, mental health issues and challenges that she's had. And I think, you know, it's important from time to time to listen to the younger people, to listen to that generation and see how they cope, how they, what view they have on health, mental health, etc. So I'm going to talk to her, and I know that she has been specialized also. Her experience has been in young adults. So we probably will talk about health for young adults. And I will tell you that she has a professional background, of course, in health sciences, counseling and coaching. But the most important thing to me is that she has experienced herself what it is to have these challenges mentally, physically, emotionally. And it's always nice to really inspire you with other people's stories. So I encourage you to listen to her story, how she, you know, coped with it, what she has to say to advise us, to inspire us, how she wants us to look at things. So I'm going to talk to Kate just now after this little break.
Oh, conversation that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to each and every single one of you. And today, as I said in the intro, I am talking to a beautiful lady called Kate Stewart. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
I think this is going to be an interesting conversation, because first of all, as we just had a little chat before this interview, you could be my daughter. And I just want to congratulate you for being who you are in that way, that I can feel, and seeing your bio, I can feel we're going to have a beautiful conversation around mental health, around improving services, around experience and being exactly who you are. Now, Kate, can you tell me and tell anyone who is listening, as a 30-year-old one, what brought you here till today, who you are?
I suppose lots of things. I think like it's been an interesting journey of figuring out, I suppose, how to be comfortable with all the different aspects of who I am as a person. And part of that, I think, has been like addressing some of the challenges. So I'm a person with lived experience of like physical disability and mental health issues. So while I kind of have them in a manageable state now and feel like quite, you know, passionate about talking about those things, there's been a journey to get there.
You want to share with us what it was? Because it's maybe important for whoever is listening to hear your challenges so that they know that they're not on their own.
Yeah, so I have a genetic condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Which syndrome?
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's not very commonly known, but it affects your joints and your connective tissue. Fatigue very quickly. I have a lot of pain. I have a lot of other bits and bobs. And I've been just kind of like sick since I was a kid, and I've only got diagnosed properly with that in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So lots of different things going on throughout my childhood and up through my adulthood as well. And then I also have been accessing mental health services since I was about 18.
What was your mental health challenge? Had it to do with your physical challenge?
I think they're both not connected and I don't think one caused the other necessarily, but I think they impact each other in a cycle.
Yes,
so like when my mental health is worse, my physical health gets worse. So I noticed it. Even the example I use is like, you know, if you're really anxious and you're like, I think I'm going to get sick, like, you know, that feeling. And then when you can manage the anxiety, you don't get that kind of chronic nausea or chronic sickness anymore, is what I have found.
It's a mind-body connection, isn't it?
It is. And then I think in a similar way, if my physical health is really bad, that obviously affects my mental health. So if I'm in a lot of pain all the time, I'm not going to feel great about it.
No.
And you can't, like, if you can't go out, if you can't do the things that kind of make, you know, finding those little bits of joy in life, If you're finding it hard to be able to do those things, it kind of compounds.
Yes, of course.
So I think like,
so can Kate, just to ask you, because I think it's really interesting. Can you tell any, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody listening out there who's feeling being in that cycle of having the physical challenge and having the mental challenge, who are connected and at the same time not connected at all. But it's like a cycle, like you say. It's like maybe even a vicious cycle. Can you tell us what, I mean, if you say from, you know, around 18 years old, what would you say has helped you the most to get out of that cycle?
I think it's a few things. So I think, I mean, from the kind of the accessing services side of things, I kind of think when I was 18 was when I finally, I was at 16 and in denial about a lot of stuff. I was like, oh, I'm physically sick and that's all that's wrong with me. How dare anyone suggest anything else? You know, it's kind of like that. And then when I was 18, you know, after leaving school and stuff, I finally kind of like, and this is in Ireland as well, so different system and everything. Mm. But talked to, I had a really great GP, a really, really great, very holistic.
Oh, wow, GP. Yes.
And he was so good to talk to. And he was the one, I was going in with like my stomach and my joints and all these kind of things. And he was like, and how's your mental health? How's your, you know, are you taking vitamins? How's your diet? Like you're very thinking about the whole person. And then so when I started, and anxiety was my big issue at the time, like it was very severe anxiety as a kind of a teenager. Once I started dealing with that, like going to counseling and getting treatment for that, then it's not that all my physical illnesses went away, but oh, they were much more manageable all of a sudden, you know what I mean? I think becoming aware of that connection,
yes,
that actually they do impact on each other, and it's not, I think when I first heard that, I kind of heard it as like, so it's all in my head. Is that what you're trying to say? Like, and that isn't what I'm
saying. I recognize that myself.
Yeah.
It's quite confronting, eh? That they say that kind of thing. And you think, oh my goodness, are you saying now that I'm psychologically not in order, you know, not okay.
Yeah, that, so that's when I was a teenager, that's how I took it. And I was like, actually, can you just treat me? But then when I kind of saw it working in action, then, I kind of became convinced, and then I became kind of a, you know, if I had friends or family with similar things, I would kind of say, oh, this is, you know, my experience with it. Maybe thinking about this side of like the mind side of things, you're very stressed. I noticed maybe that's impacting, your physical woes. And so kind of from there, I think, you know, when different symptoms or different challenges kind of arise, and that can be as simple as like, you know, sometimes when you change jobs and it's very full on or something, and you're like, oh, this is a lot more than I have to go through the adjustment period. So you might feel more not well in your body because you're more tired, that adjustment. So like those ups and downs over the years, you know, there's been things to deal with. But kind of, I think coming back to that, and also I think the really key bit is that along the way, I've been very, very lucky, and I've had a very supportive kind of network around me with that. I left my own devices. I wouldn't do any things I need to do. Do you know what I mean? I try, but I wouldn't be successful in all my endeavors. So, like having you know, parents and friends and family to nudge me along the way.
Yes.
Or just if I'm feeling like, oh, I just need to give out about this because this is annoying me. Like I'm frustrated with I'm very in pain and I just want to give out about it, you know, like, and then you have someone to listen.
Pain is very debilitating. Pain is one of the biggest stresses for our body. So, and it has an amazing influence on your mental health. So I really understand well your situation. I've lived it myself, but I see it every week here. It's the two, pain is really a big stressor in life, eh?
Yeah. And I think like with chronic pain, you make space for it in your life almost. Like
yes.
I, for me anyway, I think everyone's experience is different. For me, like it's rarely that I'm like, oh, well, zero pain. But like it might just be a low level. It's kind of like a niggle in the background. I can kind of just leave it over there. And then sometimes it's obviously very front and center.
Yes.
But I think like if I almost talk to my younger self, who was very like early in the journey, I think there's something about giving yourself some patience.
Yes.
Right. Because it just takes longer than maybe you would like to see the improvements you want to see. But that it does come. It does.
Yes.
And I think similarly, like mental health, I think is a similar thing. Your journey is your journey. And I know when I was 18, I was like, and I would like, basically, like, I would love to do like X amount of sessions and then I'm great and I'm fixed and never have to do anything again. And
we want the quick fix.
And learning that isn't the case, that it's an ongoing sort of like journey to kind of
I agree.
Wellness and figuring out who you are and finding meaning and things. It's like the forever journey. And then once I let go of like the, you know, the perfect recovery, as it were, things improved because I wasn't that thing that doesn't exist.
But isn't that why they call you also that, you know, and maybe that's why you have the position that you have today, that you are the expert by expertise, by experience. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's by experience and going through all that from a young age already, Kate, that you've gone through this, that as a 30-year-old, you are actually having so much wisdom, experience, knowledge from own experience that you can actually really lead others. And isn't that what's going on?
And I think like it's such a privilege to have the job that I have, which is essentially that, working with people who are accessing the services at the mental health trust I work at and their carers, to talk about, like, to use that experience as a strength, because I think people bring so much knowledge to the table, and having like been on both sides. So like my initial degree, I started out training as a nurse until I hurt my back and then switched over to health science. But I've been on the wards, like I've been on that side of things. I've been on the other side of the couch as a counsellor. Like, I've been on the professional side and on the service user side of things. And I think there's things that, you know, people with lived experience bring to the table that you would just never think of. In that situation, because you're like, oh, these are the processes and it's going great, and like
I'm so happy you say that, because I've been playing, you know, different roles in my life as well. In my first life I was a physiotherapist, and I always had a sensitive back and back problems, and I always said the orthopedic surgeons or the doctors and even all physiotherapists should have a problem like a back pain or a broken leg or something to become a better doctor, to become a better, you know, physiotherapist. It isn't, because they see it, like you say, from the other side, from the chair. They see it from their chair and they look at it. And it's a totally different thing if you have experienced it. I mean, it is so powerful when you've experienced what it is to have a back that needs surgery, to have a leg that needs, you know, repaired completely, to that kind of thing. So I'm so happy that you addressed that, because we talk from a totally different point of view, from a totally different perception and experience when we have lived it, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think like that's why it's interesting. When I was doing my counselling training, our program director kind of talks about counselling this way as well, but we talk about it co-production. It's like, you know, there's an expert by profession and an expert by experience.
Yes, I agree.
And you're both bringing something to the table, and that's where the magic will happen, essentially. And like, I see, even if we're looking at, you know, something like service improvement or starting something, a new project or something, I think like it's that coming together of, you know, various experts by profession and various experts by experience, and taking all those lenses, and kind of that's where you'll really get something, I think, special that hopefully will work.
Yes.
And people will want to access, and people will get a good experience of. So that's, you know, not always easy. I think, you know, we can come from such different places and perspectives, and we all bring, like all of us, we bring our own biases and our own preferences to the table. So it's not that I think there'll be, we can always come up with something that everyone is like, yes, absolutely perfect, I love that, but something that works, you know, and kind of meets that need of all those things people are bringing up. And I do think, like, it's always so interesting to see what comes out of, like, focus groups we run or a steering group meeting. I never know, like, you never predict, you know, the ideas or anything that's going to come out of things. Like, I always have my own ideas and things, very different from even my colleagues, from the service users we're talking to, from the carers we're talking to, like, from the various, even between professions, they all have different thoughts, you know. Like, it's very interesting. And I think I'm really, glad to be able to work in this area. I think having those two, you know, that professional experience and personal experience has influenced my working life, like how I'm approaching it. But like, it's a real joy to be able to, like, so explicitly, I suppose, so as the point of it, to be in a job that lets me kind of do both.
Yeah, like, I agree.
The world, it's really, I'm really lucky, I think, to have found that.
And can we talk about the mental health side for a moment? Because what I was saying about physiotherapy or the physical body is exactly the same. And I believe you talked about anxiety. So was your mental health issue was around all that anxiety and that cycle of physical and mental health? But can we say that people who have had mental health issues themselves also by experience and have a lot to contribute to others, isn't it?
Yes.
What is it for you? How is that for you? How do you bring your mental health experience that you've had in your younger years up until now? How do you bring that up front?
I mean, there's a few, I think about it in two ways that are pretty linked. Like, in the professional world, I do think, like, say, being on the other side of services, or even just being on the other side of, like, living your life, like trying to, especially in those early days when it's much harder, I think, or when you're going through like those lower episodes, I do think it kind of gives you an insight and empathy, especially with other people who've experienced that. And so whether you're bringing that into a professional space just to as, like, you know, even if it's just, well, this is my experience, can we think about X, Y, Z? And I think just over the years, it's being open about that, I think, or any experience people have, I think if you're open about it.
Yes, vulnerable about it.
It kind of makes, my experience has been that, like, people are, and maybe this is more, you know, again, in my younger years, but people are more open to then telling you about their experiences. Which, you know, and that might be very, like, in passing or informally, but I think it's a good thing to, if what we're talking about a lot is, you know, if you're feeling low or unwell, to talk to someone. I think that's so difficult to do when you are in a bad headspace.
Yes.
Like, I remember, like, there's times when I'm really bad, like, someone needs to almost talk to me first, whether it's my partner or my mother or whoever might, like, be like, Kate, you need to talk to me now, what's going on? but like, I think it is really hard, especially if you're not, if you're kind of only admitting to yourself, maybe, that you're having some struggles to talk to someone. So I think, having an increased openness.
Yes.
You know, about, like, well, this is my experience, and look, I've gotten through, I'm living my life. and yeah, there's ups and downs, and I'm still on my journey. But, like, I think that's a useful thing to see, when you don't feel like you can talk to anyone, because, like, who would understand what I'm going through? Do you know what I mean? And so, like, even in that passing way, I think it's useful to be, especially, I suppose, even in, like, destigmatizing, like, what is mental health. And I think we've come a long way since even I was a kid. And I'm coming from an Irish context, which is similar to the UK, but a little bit different. And it's, but I still think there's a long way to go.
Yes.
In that regard.
And it's a little bit, Kate, I just want to say this out loud in this conversation. It's a little bit with what we are doing with UK Health Radio and the UK Health Radio podcast. It's what we are doing with this show. It's being open about our issues, about our challenges, about what life is all about, to go from stress to authentic success, to inspire, to inform. And it that on its own, and that's a little bit what you are saying, that on its own does something. It's like throwing a little stone in the water and it's going to have a ripple effect. So the more you are open about your experience, and I do it every week here in the show, that's why I ask also these personal questions, because that's what people need to hear to become vulnerable themselves and to become yeah. open to express what's going on. I think that's just one little contribution that we can do.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I see it as well. Like, I think different even, and I can only speak to, you know, Irish culture really, but I think there's different experiences of people from different cultures around yes. mental health and what is mental health. So it's, I don't think right to say like, oh, well, all the UK isn't the same place, you know, because it isn't. And like, even, you know, like I say, Ireland has changed quite significantly since I was a kid, but yes. historically, you know, people aren't always open about their mental health. You kind of
True.
Keep it to yourself. So,
are you still wearing masks? If I ask you that, what do you think about that? Don't you feel that people are still wearing a lot of masks and there's still a facade, a facade? How do you say that in
yeah.
English?
Mm. Yeah. No, I think that happens quite a lot. I think like, I think I still do it myself quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of my, you know, I can put my work face on. Even if I'm having a bad day, I'm pretty good at putting my work face on. In other contexts, I might not be as good at it. But I think, yeah, I think certainly for me, I kind of remember the years when I was doing my counseling training, and that kind of makes, there's a lot of personal development work you have to do in that. For self-awareness, and I think it was doing that that I was like, oh, I'm holding on to a lot of masks and I'm just sort of interchanging them for the situation.
Yes.
And it was doing some of that work that I'm like, oh, now I kind of feel like, okay, they're kind of locked in together now. That's just one thing. I'm just Kate now, you
yes.
know. It took a lot of kind of work to get there, and I think it's hard.
Well done.
Look,
at 30 years old, I've got in my practice, I've got every week people here who only realize that kind of thing at 50 or 55, or, you know, have been wearing a mask all their life. I mean, can you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
congratulations for, you know, as I said, being such a young adult, but already an adult who has a lot of self-awareness and who has a lot of challenges that they have overcome and still continuing to do.
Yeah. And I guess still, like, that's the thing. I think like there's still those things that you fall
yes.
back on. It's just having an awareness of where do I want to be? How do I think thinking about like what do I value in life
yes.
and trying just to come back to that. Not always easy, very easy to be distracted by the fast paced world around us, but trying to come back to those things. And I think like even just thinking about my health, like it's so easy in my own mind, and I think to split myself up into like different specialties or issues almost. Like these are my mm-hmm. physical health problems, they go over there, and these are my mental health issues, they go over there, and I'm like, actually no, I'm just one person.
Yes.
So splitting them up isn't actually that helpful. And I think like it is one of the things that when thinking about the transformation program, I'm quite happy to think like we're one of the things we're aiming towards is more integrated services.
Yes.
And I think that integration is really important, like having felt kind of like split up over thinking about different bits of me.
Yes.
I think more integrated we as people are, but also the like the services we're trying to access are, the better.
Are you saying to see the human being as a whole and not to have different categories as the physical and the mental and the that kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I think, like you say, there's that mind-body connection. So, you know, I'm someone who for, you know, most of my life, very much in my head, not paying attention to the body, which is how I was able to be sick for so long and just to acknowledge that my mind had something to do with it as well. But like, and I think that my 20s was trying to reconnect a little bit.
Yes.
And I still, like, if I'm under stress, it's very easy to just be like back in my head. But I do think thinking of ourselves as like, you know, holistic, whole people is for ourselves and for the, you know, the services we're trying to access is the best way to go. And like, when it comes to mental health, there's, you know, there's all the different aspects you can think about. So obviously there's like traditional things like, you know, you have your psychiatrists and your psychologists and your nurses. And then, but there's the additional things like loneliness isn't a mental illness, but God, it affects our wellness, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
And so how are we thinking about that? And so we, you know, one of the new things we have is community connectors who can link you in the things you're interested in your community. You know, to try and like feel more connected to the place that you're in.
Mm.
And I think especially, I don't know, I feel like London can be very isolating because it's such a big city. There's so many people here, but I don't know if you've ever been on, I don't know what other metros are like, but if you're ever on like the tube and it's like no one looks at each other, everyone's silent, you're just completely on your own in the sea of...
Well, we felt that quite severely in the corona, in the COVID period.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the loneliness came up like suddenly like a mental problem. Because I mean, we have never thought about it as much as with the COVID and the pandemic, because then as well, the young adults, as the elderly people, as single people were really suffering from it. So it has been a big thing ever since. And I think it's good that, you know, COVID had a bit of advantages to really make us aware of what is going on, of what we need as a human being. There was a lot of things going on. So I think you told me that in before you took this position, your younger adults were the young adults were your expertise. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the mental health in young adults? What is going on there?
So I think like with the exception of like about a 3-year period where I didn't work with young adults, I think I've been working with young adults since I was 18 myself. My first proper job, like my first job was working in a deli, but I'm not going to count that. My first like proper adult job was working in a school completion program. So working with teenagers and young adults kind of at risk of early school leaving. And so I used to do stuff with them. And so I was kind of exposed to community development. And then I used to do like summer camps for again, young adults, kids in you know, I suppose, areas where, you know, they might not be able to kind of in community development sort of contexts. And so I was kind of just used to working with like people in their late teens and kind of going, leaving school and stuff. That was kind of where I was at. So when I
so what was your experience there with young adults? How did you
I think I was able to connect with, like, I was tutoring in these groups, but I wasn't just tutoring. Like a lot of the there's a reason people are considered at risk of early school leaving. There's a lot of factors going on. So I, you know, it was as much talking to them about like, well, why is school such a, okay, you're giving out about your teacher to me. What's going on really?
but what's interesting to me is to see and to talk a little bit about their self-worth, because if you want to leave school, if you want to, that kind of thing, it has to do also with your self-image, no? Your how you feel about yourself, how you see yourself, your self-esteem, isn't that, and that's a mental thing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I was able to relate to that because, you know, I did that from kind of age 18 to until I left Ireland. So about 24, I worked with them for about 6 years. And I was kind of going through it myself at, like, I would consider that maybe my roughest period of, like, mental health, particularly that same period of time. And I started a college course or a uni course, when I was 18, and within a month I dropped out and went home.
Yes.
And I went back to uni the next year and kind of kept going after that. But I think there was something about, like, oh, I have dropped out of school in a certain way.
So you had the experience again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So getting back on track, was a big, you know, I knew I wanted to get back on track. It was just figuring out how best to do that. But, you know, there was things I could connect to them with. And then when I moved to England, I did my counselling training, and not by design, but I ended up, most of my clients did fall into the young adult range. Not sure why they picked me, but there's something there maybe. And then I worked with young adult carers for a couple of years in East London as well. So they're just a group I feel very, because I think there's, it's an interesting period of one's life, isn't it? You're kind of figuring out who you are. So you're 18, 19, maybe leaving home, maybe not, maybe going to college, maybe getting a job, maybe figuring out, what am I going to do with my life, you know? And then there's all the things that come with that, like housing, how am I going to afford to do X, Y, Z, and like all the other factors that come
into
that.
What is, to you, what is the biggest mental health challenge there? What was the most common problem or challenge that they encountered in your years that you were caring for them, that you were working with them? Is there a common denominator there?
I mean, I think the common denominator might be just life transition.
Okay.
And I think because it's so multifactorial, I think it's so dependent on someone's context as well, because people are coming from very different contexts, and like what resources do they have, what coping skills do they have, you know, what have they learned is the best way to kind of exist in the world. And I do think there is just something, certainly this is what I was doing at the time, is like figuring out, well, what am I supposed to be doing with myself? Like even just picking out a uni course after I left one, I was like, what am I doing? And I spent the whole year trying to figure that out. And trying to fit, and even after that, like I all through my 20s, I was like, this is what I want to be doing. Bouncing around, kind of being a jack of all trades.
And I just wanted to say something here, Kate. I think it's important for anyone listening, is that 30, 40 years ago, it was so obvious. There wasn't so much out there that you could go and do. So you would choose something and stay in that direction. 30 years, 40 years later, there is such an offering of so many different things to do. And we change in a lifetime 7-8 times in directions of jobs and businesses. And because there's such, you know, difference now compared to before. And wouldn't that be also already a stressor to, as a young adult, to choose what direction am I going to go? Isn't that what you experienced too?
Yeah. I think like there's too much choice almost.
Yeah.
It can be very, especially if you're someone who's anxious about making the wrong decision, it can freeze you up, I think.
Yeah.
And I think there's something that, like you say, things have changed. You don't stay in a job that you get in your 20s and then you stay until retirement.
No.
You move, like, you know, move from fixed term contracts, the gig economy. It's like stability, I feel.
Yes.
Like that stability of this is where I live and this is my job. And that's just not the thing anymore. And it can be very
destabilizing.
I mean,
destabilizing, I think.
Things, even figuring out things like, where do you want to live? Like, I think certainly in Ireland, it's very common for people to, like, Australia and Canada are big destinations, coming to the UK, moving to Dublin, or, you know, which is the capital of some things, very, very common. And so even figuring out, like, Where am I going to get a job? What kind of job do I want? Like all those kind of things. It's figuring all that stuff out can be so challenging. And again, depending on the support system you have around you, that can be more or less challenging. So like I'm always very grateful for, I have a very supportive family, who have always been very
It's important.
Open and good about mental health. Even before I was like, oh, I'm having struggles. They're just like that. And so that was really lucky. But even then, even with that really good support system, you can still have struggles.
Yes.
But I wonder what it would have been like if I didn't have that as well. I think I would have struggled for a lot longer to figure things out.
Can I ask you a final question? Because time is running out. And I mean, we can talk for hours, but I just want to ask you, as a 30-year-old, gone through everything that you've gone through, is there, and I always finish with this question because I just want to, you know, to have inspiration and motivation, even myself or any listener out there to continue our journey like we talked about. Is there any statement, any quote, any advice that you would give to the listener out there who's now recognizing certain things, who's now feeling himself or herself in that mental health, even anxiety or what direction to go or that kind of thing? Is there any advice or quote, a short one? I've got 1 minute left.
I think it feels kind of trite to say it almost, but I think it's that, like, just keep going and things will take a lot longer. Maybe they'll work out very quickly, but I've found things take a lot longer than you might want them to.
Yes.
And things might take a slightly different path to the end than you want them to, but that's okay. You're kind of, and if you figure out what works for you and it's not what other people say works, it works for you, and you'll, you know, you can be your own whole self and, and find what works for you, and that there is like informal or formal support. You don't have to do it alone, you know, that'll be different for everyone, but I think it does make the journey a lot easier if you're on the wrong side.
Thank you so much, Kate. I really enjoyed this talk. I'll have a little break and I'll come back just now.
Thanks.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory. E bar gum.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
you so much for staying with me. And as you could hear in my conversation with Kate Stewart, I really find it so important and so interesting to listen to the story. The value of experience is just unpayable. I mean, we cannot underestimate what it is that people who have experienced certain mental health challenges like anxiety, physical challenges like pain in Kate's life, what it does to someone and how they can help in the future other people with it. And we talked about the mind-body connection. Of course, it is so, so important that you and I, we understand how it works. There's a mind-body connection and there's a body-mind connection, but the mind-body connection is really so powerful. So she talks also about how it is necessary for us to have a bit more patience. And I can't agree more. When Kate was talking about we need some patience for improvement, you and I, we both know, and in the Conscious Self-Care show, I also touch on it, how we often go for quick fix things. And it is so interesting to know, to accept from, instead of really going for that quick fix, to really allow yourself to do the journey, to allow yourself to go through the process, to go through the step by step journey, to really learn from your experience, to learn from your pain. So I really enjoyed that when she talked about patience and using your experience that you have. I'm talking to you out there. I'm talking to you who is listening to this show and who is maybe having such big challenges in your life, really, really profound experiences, going through so much stuff that think about it, that you can help someone else. You have been through this. And so it is so interesting if you, instead of just going through the motion and healing yourself, starting to see your strength, your experience as a strength, you have been on the other side. So it can be so interesting to really inspire others with this. And as Kate was talking, there's experts by profession and there's experts by experience. And I, for one, at my age, am both. I really, really can tell you that I've done so many studies, so many certificates on my name, so many, but also so much experience. And so I do believe that the combination of the two is really irresistible, is really what inspires people, what heals people, what helps people heal. Because I always say I help people helping themselves. That's a big one. And so when Kate talks also about being vulnerable, that's what I have been talking about in the last two weeks in my shows. When I take the word for the whole show, it's all about being vulnerable. It's all about being open and honest and giving permission to others to do the same. Let go of all the masks, all the facade, and, really be yourself. Express yourself exactly as you are. Instead of being disconnected, living in your head, it is so, so nice to be able to connect exactly with yourself and to go out from a holistic view, to see yourself as a whole and not just living in that head. So there's so much to say about this conversation, and I really enjoyed it. And by the end, I was asking Kate about her statement, quote, or something that she lives by. And I really loved her sentence, just deep going, just keep going, because it is a journey. It takes so much longer, as I just told you. It is a path. It is a journey. It is a process. And maybe it's even a lifelong process, a lifelong path, because I'm in my 60s and I'm never going to stop. Once you go on that path and on that process, and I see it in my children, I see it in my clients, it is a lifelong process, a lifelong journey. And it's up to you to enjoy the journey, to accept the journey, to embrace the journey, and trust that with patience and courage and commitment, you can do it. If I could have been able to do it, you can do it as well. So I'm going to leave you with that. I am so trusting that you are enjoying all these conversations, all these teachings, insights, tools, stories that we give you. And if you want to read more articles, don't hesitate to go to the Health Triangle magazine on the UK Health Radio website. And really, it is so worth your while, these articles. Every single month, you can be inspired to take your life and your health into your own hands. Let me leave you for now, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.